Let's begin. We'll talk NCAA and NIT tournament action regarding Iowa State and Iowa men's basketball teams. We'll visit with Mike Kolas, as we do each and every Monday, and see if you have what it takes to win $500 with the NCAA tournament bracket challenge. Coming up next. I will not talk weather. I will not talk weather. I will not talk. Oh!
Or politics.
Good afternoon, everyone. 3:04 on this fine Monday, March 13th. The brackets have been filled, both the NCAA and NIT tournaments. We'll get into that here in a little while. Meanwhile, recap the weekend. Alex Kuhn alongside of me again today. Scott Unash taking today and tomorrow. A little bit of vacation, but not the greatest weather where he's at. I feel bad for him in that regard, but he did get in 18 yesterday, so that's not all bad. Alex Kuhn, welcome in again, and you had a historic weekend.
Yeah, it was a great weekend. Went down to Des Moines, and we saw two area teams bring home 3A and 4A state championships. Mm-hmm. Congratulations to Cedar Rapids Xavier. They go back-to-back in 3A.
What a great game.
Great game with Sergeant Bluff Luton. Did I get that right?
You did.
I struggled with that one, kind of like Todd and I struggle with Gladbrook Rhinebeck. But anyways, Cedar Rapids Xavier, congratulations to them. And the Iowa City West Trojans getting revenge over West Des Moines Valley. They bring home their fourth 4A state championship in the last 6 years.
Yeah, against a pretty good West Des Moines Valley team. And interesting call you and Scott had on Friday. Kind of an experiment. Scott did the first and last quarters of play-by-play, and you did the middle two. And you just swapped roles, I guess.
Yeah, it was like baseball, where you see the lead broadcaster do 4.5 innings, and then you see the other broadcaster do 4.5 innings. So we switched things up. Because we had two area teams. We had Cedar Rapids Kennedy, a team that Scott covers quite a bit, and Iowa City West, a team that I had the call on several times this year. So it was a lot of fun.
Congrats to the state champions, Xavier and Iowa City West, and good seasons for Kennedy, North Lynn, and West Delaware as well, as they each won a game in the state tournament. Didn't quite reach their the height that each of the respective schools might have wished, but still fine seasons. So another season of high school basketball in the books, and now we get into heavy college basketball, beginning tomorrow night with the first four games, or the, what do we want to call them?
The first
four round games.
I think they just call them the first four now. They used to call it the first round, and I believe the NCAA has changed that. They just call it the first four, and the first round games that we're accustomed to calling the first round games are now called, in fact, the first round games.
Well, that makes sense.
So not as much confusion.
We'll get into the NCAA tournament, NIT tournament here in a bit. But looking back on the weekend from Kansas City and Washington, D.C., our friend Mike Kolas again will join us here in just a matter of minutes. He was in Kansas City to witness Iowa State's victory 3 out of the last 4 years. Think about that. I mean, you talk about Kansas dominance in the regular season. And Iowa State has won 3 out of the last 4 tournaments and looked great doing it. I know you were in Des Moines during the championship game of the Big 12, but I'm sure you got to see quite a bit of it.
They had the game on in the media room at Wells Fargo Arena, and this team is just playing so well right now. And we think about last year where Buddy Hield got them. I think it was in the quarterfinals of the Big 12 tournament. This was a team that struggled to defend, and that's not the case this year. They're playing as well as anybody in that conference, and I think them, the Michigan Wolverines, and a couple other teams like Wichita State that got pretty favorable draws are going to be very dangerous come Thursday and Friday.
The thing that impressed me was the defense more than anything else. I mean, you can talk a lot about the offense and contributions from folks like Solomon Young and Monte Morris's continued strong play, but Iowa State was very scrappy against West Virginia. And it hasn't always been the case this year with the Cyclones. And I think if it continues in a pretty tough first-round matchup against Nevada, there's no easy ones, is there, unless you're number one?
Easy games in the first round?
Yeah.
Maybe a couple of number twos because some of the 15 seeds aren't great. But those 12 seeds are dangerous. Middle Tennessee, a team that, as a 15 seed, beat Michigan State last year. And then Minnesota has to play them in the first round. I'm telling you right now, I don't even think that's an upset. Because I think Minnesota's going down the first round. Middle Tennessee is going to move on. They're going to have a chance to move to the Sweet 16. Other 12 seeds, Nevada. That's a tough team out of the Mountain West. This is a Nevada team with 28 wins on the season. That's a tough matchup for a 5 seed in Iowa State. I think Iowa State might have the easiest draw of any 5 seed because there are going to be some 12 and 13 upsets. And it starts right there with Middle Tennessee. If you're an Iowa State fan, be glad you didn't draw them.
So Iowa State goes into the tournament, as you mentioned. We'll play Thursday about 9 o'clock in Milwaukee in a favorable geographic pairing for the Cyclones, you would think, in terms of being within fairly easy driving distance for a lot of the fans. And speaking of fans, boy, if you watched or listened to that Big 12 championship game, it was heavily Iowa State. And we'll get a better perspective from Mr. Haas, but there is a lot of Iowa State fans there.
There were, and it continues to be impressive to see how well they fill that place up. And especially, I knew it was going to be that way, especially when TCU beat Kansas, and the Kansas fans probably took the hour trek home, or they probably, a lot of them live in the area. And it would have been interesting to see what the arena split would have been in that second matchup between Iowa State and Kansas. But like you said, they filled that place up. It was 99% Iowa State fans for the duration of that tournament. You have to give them credit. And 3 out of the last 4 championships have gone to the Cyclones in that tournament. I think at least a part of it goes to the Iowa State fans that have made that a home court advantage.
319-366-1600 is our Jerry Ask Investment Services text line. And David at 5615 says, everyone knows those games tomorrow are playing games.
And they're called as such now, the first four. I guess Fran McCaffrey would beg to differ, but...
Well, if you're affiliated with one of those teams, you think it's a first-round game. But they're called the first four now, and they're different types of first four. You've got conference tournament champions, Mount St. Mary's against New Orleans, North Carolina Central and UC Davis. They're playing as 16 seeds in the first four, but you also have the last four in, Kansas State, Wake Forest, and Providence, USC. By the way, Iowa was among the last four out, number 3, and that kind of surprised me.
This is something that I'm going to be interested to get Mike's thoughts on, and it's difficult for a lot of Iowa fans to see them be on that last, they're the third team out of the tournament. Obviously a number one seed in the NIT. If they win against Indiana, we were talking all last week, what was it going to take? It was going to take 2 wins. That was the conventional wisdom. Seeing that, we realize it would have only taken 1 win.
Mm.
And it would have, if they would have closed out a game against Minnesota, you're playing the what-if game. They would have closed out a game against Minnesota, avoided a bad loss against Nebraska, Omaha. They are probably either headed to Dayton or headed to one of these
sites. There's a lot of
different
scenarios for everyone.
Exactly.
There really is.
There is. But the other side of that is if you would have told fans that they would be a number one seed in the NIT before this season starts, I guarantee you a lot of people would have been all for that.
You think you've got it figured out? Invite you to join our KGYM Bracket Challenge. You can access it at kgymradio.com. You can take your shot at winning 500 smackers in this little tournament. We've already got dozens of entries. I checked earlier today. And all you have to do is go to the area on our webpage. Very easy to access. Shows you where to click. Make sure you have the password correct. It's Madness, M-A-D-N-E-S-S, all lowercase. And then enter your picks for a chance to win that cash prize. Brought to you by Imon Communications. You have from now until 11 a.m. on Thursday to enter. Last year we got tons of entries. You can only enter once. Make sure there's an area there you can click for contest rules as well. That's very important before you actually fill out the bracket. So enjoy. Somebody's going to win $500. Why not you? Of course, we aren't eligible.
It won't be you or I.
We aren't eligible, no. We're not very skilled at it anyway.
No, I'm really bad at it. And after this year, watching my viewership of college basketball, I'm probably going to be even worse at it.
Is it good? Is it a good thing that Iowa is in the NIT instead of the NCAA tournament?
Are you talking about for the future? Is that the kind of the angle?
Just for this year. I mean, you know, if you get in those first four games, then you're going to play, you know, a six seed like an SMU or a Cincinnati. Should you even win that first four game? As it is, Iowa has South Dakota Wednesday night, 6 o'clock. Former Iowa Hawkeye Trey Dickerson on that team. And then you might have to face TCU in the second round, which would be a heck of a game. But Iowa probably will be at home throughout as long as it keeps winning. Is it a good thing that Iowa is in the NIT instead of the NCAA?
I will say I think it's a good thing that that Iowa's in the NIT, but not as opposed to being in the NCAA tournament. I think it would have been a great thing for this team to get in and maybe go to Dayton and play another 11 seed and then have to go play on a neutral floor in the NCAA tournament a year ahead of schedule. It would have been an awesome experience. I don't care if they would have gotten blown out eventually and their season ends on a sour note. But you see how beneficial the NIT can be when Adam Woodbury and Mike Cassell and all of those guys, Anthony Clemens.
2013.
Mm-hmm. Those guys' freshman year, how beneficial that was for momentum going into that next year where they were ranked in the top 10 for part of the season. So I think it would have been a good thing either way. But I'm not one of those people that say, the young team, it's better they're in the NIT than the NCAA tournament. The NCAA tournament would have been a great experience for them either way.
On the text line, 4702, yes, I'm very happy with the NIT. It's very good, all capitals. 27-23, pressure is on again, playing Trey Dickerson. Yeah. 4406, wonders if Dookie Vitale stop complaining about Syracuse being left out yet.
I don't want to say I told you so, but I think it was on Thursday. We were talking about all the national pundits saying Syracuse is in. And I said, no, Syracuse is not in. They have not done enough to get in the NCAA tournament. They're 18-14. They lost to St. John's. They lost to Georgetown. This is not an NCAA tournament team. They shouldn't have got in last year. They overachieved and
they made a heck of a run.
They got to the Final Four. The committee looked at their resume this year, and they weren't going to let them in with a resume of or an RPI of 74. And I have absolutely zero problem with it. And if that's the biggest snub of the NCAA tournament field, if that's your biggest left out, then I think the committee did one hell of a job.
Since UNASH is not here, I feel obligated to talk about the Missouri Valley. From two standpoints, Illinois State was the second team out of the tournament. And secondly, you're telling me Wichita State is a 10 seed?
No, that was the biggest gripe I had. Wichita State...
That means they're the 40th best team in the country?
Wichita State is going to... You talk about a 7-10 upset. It would be an upset if Dayton beats Wichita State. I think Wichita State might be an 8 or 9 point favorite in that game. They're a 6 or 7 seed. I'd say an 8 at the worst. And they're sitting there at 10 seed. they still haven't gotten the respect that a Gonzaga program gets. Because Gonzaga's in the West Coast Conference.
Mm-hmm.
Their schedule isn't the best because nobody wants to play them. But the committee now, over 6 or 7 years, has said, you know what? Gonzaga is not your prototypical West Coast Conference team. We're not going to judge them the same way because they've proven over and over again.
Over time, they've earned that.
Exactly. Yeah. And by the eyeball test, they are not. You look at their resume, they have one loss this year. But in the past, they've gotten seeded higher than another mid-major team with their same resume would. How has Wichita State not gotten that respect yet? And I understand they lose Ron Baker and Fred VanVleet, but this is a team that went to the Final Four 3 years ago. They were a number one seed. They eventually lost to the runner-up Kentucky that year. They were the last team in last year, nearly made a Sweet 16 run. They ended up losing to Miami. I just don't understand. This is not a 10 seed. This program has gained the right over the last 4 to 5 seasons with Greg Marshall at the helm to be judged differently than another mid-major team.
Their RPI, I'm speaking both the Wichita State and Illinois State, RPI and strength of schedule has worked against them, not only in the seeding for Wichita State, but for the exclusion of Illinois State in the tournament. And I hear all these analysts saying, well, they don't play. They need to schedule better in the non-conference. Nobody wants to schedule them.
I agree.
It's not a matter, I don't think, of Wichita State and Illinois State not wanting to schedule folks. But look at you and I. You and I scheduled a home-and-home with North Carolina. Granted, it had an inside deal with Marcus Page. But there are plenty of schools around the country who don't want to schedule Wichita State or Illinois State.
I agree. Illinois State, though, and we talked about this after they got blown out by Wichita State. I thought they were out. And I'm a big Missouri Valley guy, and I always want to see that conference get multiple bids. But I'd seen that song and dance before. And when Illinois State looked as horrible as they did on a national stage with everybody watching, That's when I said, you know what, they have no chance. And they were the second to last team out. And we talk about Iowa, if they win against Indiana, they're probably in. If Illinois State loses by 5 and looks decent against Wichita State, they're probably headed to Dayton right now. But they didn't. They shot terribly. They got run out of the gym in St. Louis, and they're in the NIT because of it.
Well, look at Wichita State played. I mean, Tulsa, which hasn't been traditionally a bad basketball school, played LSU, played Louisville, played Michigan State, played Colorado State, a tournament team, played Oklahoma, played Oklahoma State. That's not bad. That's not a bad non-conference schedule.
It isn't. But
went 30-4.
They went 30-4. But like I said, even despite that, they've earned the right to be judged differently based on not only their body of work this year, but their total body of work over the past 4 to 5 seasons in the same way that Gonzaga has. In fact, they've made deeper runs in the tournament than Gonzaga has.
Yes. Excellent point. I'm going to get you a poll question here very soon here related to our bracket challenge. Again, go to KGYMradio.com and enter for a chance to win $500. We are on the air tomorrow and Wednesday as well, taking Thursday and Friday off to yield to the NCAA tournament. And its coverage tomorrow, we'll have Mark Ironside and Rob Gray on to talk wrestling and Iowa State, respectively. Wednesday, John Cranton is going to bring all his knowledge, all his analysis, and perhaps help us pick a couple games in the NCAA tournament. Right now, we want to take our first break. And when we come back, we'll be joined by Mike Halas, sports columnist of the Cedar Rapids Gazette.
Hi, I'm Amelia, and at my age of 14, I just don't want to be tied down with any long-term commitments. If computers at your business break, call Network Computer Solutions, and they'll fix the problem quickly and just charge you for the work they do. No contracts are needed that tie you down. You've got plenty of time to worry about commitments later. We have our whole lives ahead of us.
Call NCS at 247-7223. 247-7223. Network Computer Solutions. They're the missing piece to your IT puzzle.
Hi, Patrick Eads, inviting you to be a part of our biggest month yet at Dairy Ford.
With up to $10,000 off new Fords and 0% financing for 72 months. Or choose from 100 used vehicles tagged with special discounted prices. Late model, low mileage used cars starting at $119 a month. With more inventory, more financing, and lower rates, you'll drive home in a newer vehicle and have lower monthly payments than you have now.
Stop by today. Sale ends soon. Dairy Ford, Iowa City, or online at DairyFord.com.
Eastern Iowa Sports is their domain. Back to the gym class with Scott Unash and Mark Dukes on KGYM.
Welcome back, everyone. Coming up on 324 on the gym class, Mark Dukes and Alex Kuhn with you today and tomorrow. Scott Unash will return on Wednesday. And at that time, in addition to John Cranton, we'll break down our picks, some of our suggestions for the NCAA tournament. Folks, if you're soured on basketball, Iowa basketball, and you really shouldn't be, just got notification from the University of Iowa that Kirk Ferentz will hold his spring news conference Monday. Football is back, first day of practice on Wednesday. I don't personally get too excited about spring practice, but there it is. Spring football underway. I think it's already underway at Iowa State, and now just going to get tuned up at Iowa as well. Again, programming schedule, the APC will be out early Tuesday and Wednesday so we can bring you the first four games in the NCAA tournament. Those will begin at 5:30 p.m. And then, of course, Thursday and Friday tournament action around the clock on KGYM. Right now, let's bring in a guy who loves tournaments and saw a great one. In Kansas City, Michael Oss. Hi, Mike.
Hi.
How good a time was that down there covering the Big 12 tournament?
Good. Good event. Good story. Good story for me, for the Gazette, that's for sure. Iowa State was good. I mean, I'm not telling anybody anything they don't already know if they saw any of those games, but for three straight games, they were really good.
They were really good, and I know you wrote about it a little bit, and I concurred. I thought the big difference for Iowa State was its defense, and just scrappy in that game against West Virginia, but good throughout.
Yes. They've had a good defense this season, and I think it's gotten better as the season's gone along, but a lot of people have suggested over the years Iowa State's defense was a liability, and I think some of the time it has been, but not this year. It's a smart, tough defense, and they had 10 steals in the first half against West Virginia, which is insane. But I think that whether they admit it or not, I think their battle plan was, let's be aggressive against the most aggressive defensive team in the country. And they did. They out-defensed the best defense.
Mike, I'm not going to ask you to give away any of your bracket secrets, but last year, this team heading in the NCAA tournament was a defensive liability. Because of that defense this year that you speak of, do you look at them any differently, this year's team any differently than you looked at last year's team heading into the NCAA tournament?
Every year's different. Really is. You know, they got to the Sweet 16 last year. If they could do that this year, they'd really be accomplishing something because their first round opponent is good. And if they beat Nevada, then they would play Purdue, which was merely the regular season champion of the Big Ten. They're good. And Iowa State would defend Caleb Swanigan and Isaac Haas. I don't know. But I don't even know if this is a better team than last year's because they're just different teams. But what they've got is a team playing its best ball of the year the last 3 weeks or so. I mean, since the start of February, but at the end of January, this wasn't a good team. It wasn't a horrible team, but they were nothing special. And they just have really... They've got eight guys who I think if they did not, the ones who didn't know their roles have figured them out. And you saw that the three guys off the bench were just as important to their win Saturday night in the championship game as the five starters. And that's something we haven't seen from very many Iowa State teams, an eight-man rotation where all eight players kind of have it figured out. So I think they're going to be a very tough out. I don't care who they play. You saw what they did in Kansas City. They beat, you know, they beat a team that's a number four seed, West Virginia, and they kind of handily beat, but they were better than Oklahoma State, which is a really good team.
It's very interesting. You didn't get to see, and Iowa State fans didn't get to see another matchup with Kansas, but strangely enough, as the brackets played out, that possibility exists.
Yeah, I hadn't even realized it until late Saturday night as I was leaving the arena down there, and Dennis Dodd with CBSSports.com, he lives in the Kansas City area, and I said, well, Dennis, it was good seeing you, and he goes, well, you might see me again in 2 weeks, and I'm like, what are you talking about? Where are you going to be? And he said, here. And I didn't even know Kansas City was a regional site, and I thought about it a little bit afterward, and I thought, yeah, that would be something, you know. The thing is, Iowa State wouldn't be able to get 5,000 or 7,000 or however many people they could get into an NCAA tournament game, I don't think, like you could for the Big 12 tournament. But, I mean, and then once Kansas was knocked out, Iowa State seemed to buy every single ticket that was available. The crowd they had Saturday night was, if you closed your eyes, you'd say there's no question about it. We're in Ames.
Mm.
Mike, you lead me right to my next question. This team has won three of the last four Big 12 tournaments. How big of a factor does that crowd play?
Oh, I think it helps, but look, the last 4 years they've had good teams. I mean, they had George Niang for 3 years in that time. And I rewatched their game 2 years ago. When they beat, I think it was Kansas in the final. Boy, did they have talent. So this is nothing new. I mean, Monte Morris has been their starting point guard for 3 years. They've had players like Melvin Edgem and DeAndre Kane and Abdel Nader. They've been good. You know, this is their sixth straight NCAA tournament. This is not a new phenomenon. So, but winning three out of four Big 12 titles, and everybody concedes that's a really good basketball league. That's something that I think they'll hang their hats on for a long time.
I'm a big fan of Deontay Burton, Mike, just because with his size, the way he handles the ball, he can shoot a three, he can play a little bit of defense. I think he's been one of the most important revelations this year.
Well, yes. You're absolutely right. I got to see him at courtside three straight days down there. And there's something about sitting at courtside as opposed to anywhere else, including, you know, your couch at home. I wasn't believing what I was seeing. I mean, he is just... When he is right,
mm-hmm.
which seems to be quite a bit lately, I don't know how you guard him. I really don't. And his instincts are semi-amazing. And his passing in that tournament was terrific. He set up Bowie for several easy baskets over those 3 days when it didn't seem like passing was going to even be an option in his mind. And he just... flips the pass off to a wide-open guy. His ability to shoot without a dribble, to just catch and shoot, is, for a 250-pounder, it's crazy, like you said. And he's been playing really good defense, really been a ball hawk, and has used his girth to to do a pretty effective job against guys who are several inches taller. So, yeah, he's playing the best ball of his life. He's got to play more of it now.
Let me throw this question that Alex and I tossed around earlier, Mike. Is it a good thing that Iowa is playing in the NIT?
You know what? It's coincidental that you would ask that. I just got off the telephone with Zach Johnson, doing a story on him for in a few weeks. And he told me, and you know, he's a big Hawkeye honk, he said he thinks that the NIT is better for them this year than the NCAA. I never think that's the case, but I understand why people would say that. I understand why he would say that. I mean, they could play, conceivably, 3, 4, 5 games in this thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a team, these are guys who, you know, if you can get them 3, 4, 5 more games, especially at this time of year and against good competition, of course you want that. But there isn't anybody who plays the game who would feel that way, you know. They all think they're going to the NCAA tournament until the very minute that it's proven that they can't. And that's why, you know, that's why players that's why graduate transfers go to bigger schools. That's why Darryl Bowie transferred to Iowa State. He wanted to play in the NCAA tournament. Well, that said, if they can win 2 or 3 games, 4 games, whatever, it ties a nice bow on the season, and I think it gives them something, you know, for the memory banks come next March.
We'll see how excited the fan base is, Mike. That's always interesting to see. And I think, as you wrote today, that the more Iowa wins, the better the crowds may be. But it's an interesting contrast at Indiana, which also made the NCAA tournament. And story by Greg Doyle I read that Indiana is not hosting Georgia Tech, not because of reported renovations at Assembly Hall. It's because Indiana is terrified that with students being gone from spring break, and apathy towards the program of showing a near empty Assembly Hall.
Yeah, I haven't looked at the complete bracket of NIT games. It's, you know, there's life is too short, but I would bet that Iowa's crowd of all those, what, let me do the math, 16 first round games. I think it's a pretty safe bet Iowa will have the biggest crowd.
Mm-hmm.
It's not always that way. In the Iowa Media Guide, they have all the box scores of every NIT game they played in. They've had 4 or 5 sellouts for home NIT games. There was also one time they had a crowd of 2,700 people. It depends on how you're ending the regular season, how people feel about the team at the time, and, you know, the night and the start time factor into it too. This Wednesday thing gives people a chance to make plans, and it sounds like the season ticket holders who got first dibs bought quite a few tickets. So I think you're going to see a nice crowd Wednesday. It's not going to be sold out, but it's going to be a nice crowd. It's certainly not an interesting, I mean, I don't want to say interesting, but it's not a marquee opponent. But if you win that game, I think you get a nice crowd the next time out, and if you win that game, I would bet that the third home game would approach sellout proportions.
Mike, I've heard from several different fans, different segments of the fan base. One segment looking at the NCAA tournament and seeing that Iowa was the third to last team held out of the tournament, and kind of playing the what-if game. What if they beat Indiana? What if they hold on against Minnesota? What if they don't lose to Nebraska, Omaha? There's kind of that disappointment of not making the NCAA tournament. On the other side, there's the segment of the fan base that says, well, if you would have told me they'd be the number one seed in the NIT before the season, I would have easily taken that. Which side do you think outweighs the other? Is there more positive outlook or kind of glass-half-empty outlook on this team?
I think it's probably split down the middle. Here's what happened was a few weeks ago, the NCAA seemed like an impossible dream. Then the team storms through 4 games, wins a couple of great road games, And, you know, all of a sudden hope is alive. And once you get that hope, then, you know, the thing Thursday night in Washington against Indiana was a crushing disappointment. But I don't know. I just think that this will be a deal where if these young players get the thing relit Wednesday night and put some excitement in that arena with the way they play, that you'll have people jumping all over game two. Now, if South Dakota comes in here and, you know, does a little giant killing, that's really going to make for a sour end to the season. But here's the thing, is all along, this has been a rebuilding year. No matter how this NIT thing goes, it's a rebuilding year. And it's a lot of good has been seen from it to make people, I think, reasonably believe that this absence in the NCAA tournament is just going to be a one-year thing.
I look at the NCAA bracket, Mike, and I don't know how far I'll push Big Ten teams ahead. I need to do a little bit more studying, but just on first glance, Wisconsin, really good regular season, an 8 seed, and should they get past Virginia Tech, then it's the overall number one seed in the country.
Yeah.
Not a very good draw.
No. It's kind of weird. A lot of people have noted this. Wisconsin, I think, beat Minnesota twice and was, I think Wisconsin finished above Minnesota in the Big Ten. And yet Minnesota's a 5 seed and Wisconsin's an 8. Now, I would have to double check if Wisconsin beat Minnesota twice or not. I don't. But you would think if one was a 5 and one was an 8, and Wisconsin's the one that went to the Big Ten Tournament Championship game and Minnesota didn't, that Wisconsin would be the 5, but I don't know. I don't know how that stuff works, who they played in the non-conference, whatever. There's too many teams to worry about. It's not been a great year for the league. Now, is there a Final Four team from the Big Ten? I don't see it. I can't even imagine who it would be. I just wonder if any of them are going to get to the Sweet 16. Michigan might have the best chance of anybody.
Yeah, I was going to ask you who among the 7 Big Ten teams maybe has the best chance to advance the furthest. Purdue is the highest seed at a 4. But other than that, you're looking at 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 seeds.
Yeah. Yeah, and I mean, Purdue was a 5 last year and didn't get out of the first round. So Iowa State would have played Purdue in the second round if Purdue had held up its end of the bargain. Maybe this year it'll happen. But Purdue's first-round game is against Vermont, and I see there are people out there who are picking Vermont.
Hmm.
So, I mean, are you... Whoa, you know? But I like Purdue's team, but I mean, again, they were the regular season champions in the Big Ten. They've got to be pretty good, but a Purdue-Iowa State game, I think I would just take a coin and flip it in the air.
Wisconsin did beat Minnesota twice by 2 on the road and pretty handily at home.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, Wisconsin wins twice in D.C. to get to the finals, and I don't know. I mean, they're in an 8-9 game, and if they win that, you said they play Villanova?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Of course, they could turn around and beat Villanova, so who knows?
What did you learn that you can share with us with Zach Johnson?
Nothing really newsworthy. It's for a story I'm going to do on the 10-year anniversary of his Masters win.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's, you know, how much does he put significance in the anniversary? What did it mean to his career? How would life have been different had he not won it? Just a lot of that sort of thing.
What do you remember personally about that event?
It was cold.
2007 Masters, not very nice.
Yeah. And that sounds like a silly thing to say, I know, but that was a factor in him winning it.
Very much.
He's the first to admit it. The conditions, cold and windy, pretty much for 4 days, especially on Saturday. Saturday was just nasty cold. I was really mad at myself that I hadn't gone out and bought a pair of gloves that morning.
There's one Tiger Woods in the hunt at that tournament.
He was, but there were a lot of guys who briefly had the lead on Sunday until Zach took it, and when Zach took it, he kept it. And he took it with quite a few holes left to play. I think it was early on in the back nine holes that he moved into first place, and once he got it, he was like a Drake bulldog. He kept it in his teeth and didn't let go of it. I remember so many moments, so many little moments. It took a while to really accept.
Mm-hmm.
But something I remember is when he came off the course, there were still players who had to finish, so he didn't know if he was going to win or not, or was going to have a playoff. But he came off the course, and his first child at the time was a baby, and his wife's holding his baby right off the 18th green, and he comes off the course, and he just sort of, basically falls into an embrace with them, and all of a sudden, all the emotion just came out at once. It just was a puddle. And I'm thinking, boy, if he has to go to a playoff, I hope he's not emotionally gone. And I don't think he would have been. But he said, it's not over. But as it turned out, yeah, it was. And afterward in the media center, and I've told the story to a lot of people, but I had kind of a big story to write myself. And I got reporters from Germany and Ireland and other places pestering me for information about Cedar Rapids. I had asked Zach about what is it about Regis High School that you could have a Super Bowl MVP and a Masters champion, and I asked that in the main press conference. And so one of the German writers was asking me, "Tell me about this high school." And I said, "Okay, well, it's Regis, and it's not a high school anymore." And he goes. What did they do to it? And I said, it's okay. It's okay. They still have education in Cedar Rapids. They just, move things around a little bit. And I don't know why he was so upset about it, but I'd never forgotten that.
And they had a great deli across the street at one time.
Yeah. I was in a house that week. I stayed in a private residence, and a few of the people in the house were sports writers from Europe or sports media people. And I got back to that house about midnight after filing all my stuff. They kept me up till like 3:15 in the morning asking me questions about him and pretty much wrecked me for the next couple of days.
Well, I hope you haven't. I can't believe it's been 10 years, but
I know.
It's many victories and another major since, and Zach is still at it, and hopefully you'll get that opportunity again to write that story, Mike. It won't be like the first one, but that was a special time, no doubt.
Yeah. The thing about him that we've learned is you can never discount anything.
No. Mike, enjoy Milwaukee. And hopefully you'll get it back to Kansas City as you follow the Cyclones.
Okay. Thanks.
Thanks again, Mike. Michael Oss from the Cedar Rapids Gazette, sports columnist. He covered Iowa State in Kansas City at the Big 12 tournament. He'll be in Milwaukee for that first round game Thursday at just about 9 p.m. Not conducive to newspaper deadlines, but it is what it is. Let's take a break. We'll have more in the gym class next.
If you're thinking about selling your home, now is the time to think about getting that sold sign planted out front ASAP. Doug McAllister at Pinnacle Realty knows all about those sold signs. You see, each spring he buys a bunch of them because he plants them in people's yards. Doug has a nice shiny sold sign for your yard, and he plants them faster than a John Deere plants corn in the spring. Time is money, and Doug McAllister has his own menu-driven system to sell your home fast and for more. Just go to soldincr.com to learn more. That's soldincr.com. Planting season is almost here.
Friday, all good things will come together when the Afternoon Players Club hosts a basketball viewing party at La Cantina's new location. Watching tournament game madness? Check. St. Paddy's Day? Check. Great food and drink specials? Check. Get ready for a great time Friday from 1 to 4 during the APC's viewing party at La Cantina Bar and Grill in their new location in the Fountains on Edgewood Road. It's basketball. It's St. Paddy's Day. It's the APC. It's La Cantina. What more could you want?
As an entrepreneur, you're always on the go. So turn your mobile phone into a business phone system with Grasshopper, the entrepreneur's phone system. Make and receive business calls using our iPhone and Android apps. Get a new business number or keep your current one. Forward your calls to any phone and even get your voicemails transcribed. Join over 250,000 small businesses who stay connected with Grasshopper. See how it works at grasshopper.com, the entrepreneur's phone system.
Greeny, you know how to win at business?
Tell me how.
Show up early for meetings. That way everybody who's only on time looks like slackers.
Well, I got a better way to win at business.
What's that?
Instant free nights at La Quinta Inns and Suites. You can show up with no advance reservation and redeem your La Quinta Returns loyalty points for a free night that same night just by using the La Quinta app.
I feel like I'd win at business more than you.
I'd cream you at business.
Impossible. I'm undefeated at business.
Go to LQ.com now and prepare to win at business.
Every make, every model, every year. At Firestone Complete Auto Care, our certified technicians have the state-of-the-art tools to keep your car running right. Take advantage of the Bonus Savings Day Spring Event and get $100 off any purchase of $500 or more. Whatever you drive, drive a Firestone.
Offer valid March 16th through 19th on any purchase. Exclusions may apply. In-store installation required. Maximum savings $100. $50 minimum purchase required for tiered offer. See store or driveafirestone.com for full details.
Burger King presents Breakfast Stories. Here's Pete, Tony, and the 2 for $4 croissant sandwich deal.
The other day, Pete and I go to Burger King for my croissant sandwich. You know, they're just 2 for $4.
Oh, it's my favorite. I'm like, what?
Yeah, so I got 2 croissant sandwich, and I give one to this guy.
I'm like, who are you?
I'm the guy that just paid for your breakfast.
That's my favorite guy.
You guys, the croissant sandwich deal is 2 for $4. Now made with 100% butter for a soft and flaky croissant. Get 2 croissant sandwiches now for $4 only at Burger King. Price and participation vary.
Mom always said, don't borrow trouble. So I made it a habit to only borrow books from the library. But when my old car died, I needed a loan. I hadn't established any credit history, but at DuPaco, character is worth more than collateral. They gave me a used car loan at a new car rate and a free credit history lesson on how a good credit score could save me money. DuPaco is more than local. It's a cooperative that uses sustainable money methods to put money to work locally by providing friends and neighbors low-cost loans for cars, homes, education, small businesses, and more. Since DuPaco taught me to help myself, I'm finding ways to help my hometown. Instead of just borrowing books at the library, I lend my time as a volunteer reading to kids. To borrow a phrase, life-changing.
Enriching lives through sustainable money methods. Some call that smart money.
I call it bright green.
DuPaco Community Credit Union.
Save.
Borrow. Invest.
Insure.
Trust.
It's been another big college basketball season, TB, but now the craziness really gets started.
And we wouldn't be the APC if we didn't kick it off in big style, Tyler.
I say at Coach's Corner Sports Pub Thursday from 1 to 4.
A fine idea. Everybody can join us to get the first games of the tournament under their belt.
And Coach's Corner will have great drink and food specials all day.
Let the madness begin.
At the Afternoon Players Club viewing party at Coach's Corner Sports Pub Thursday from 1 to 4.
749 Mormon Trek Boulevard in Iowa City.
Monday through Friday from 3 to 4. The gym class with UNASH and Dukes. KGYM.
And the boys will follow that up on Friday at La Cantina, 1 to 4. Watch a little more March Madness with you. It's not really that cold in here. But Tyler and Todd at Coach's Corner, a sports pub in Iowa City on Thursday, and La Cantina on Friday with the NCAA tournament getting underway. A reminder our KGYM Bracket Challenge. Access it at KGYMRadio.com. You take your shot at winning $500. Very easy. Follow the directions. You click and go. And remember, the password is MADNESS, all lowercase, MADNESS. Go ahead and register. We got dozens of entries already. Why not you? You could be that one person that wins $500, courtesy of I'm On Communications. APC coming up next from 4 to 7. Among the guests, Alex?
We're going to have John Walters, the Iowa State play-by-play voice, joining Tyler and Todd. Then, of course, Mac McCausland at 5:30. We'll talk a little Iowa Hawkeyes and NIT. And we have a special guest. And as Todd Brommelkamp put it, a coach named Steve with Iowa ties. Not Steve Prohm, but Steve Forbes, the head coach of the East Tennessee State Buccaneers, who are a 13 seed in the NCAA tournament. He's going to be joining us at 6:35.
Steve Forbes from Lone Tree, Iowa. A very good basketball player in his own right, as I remember. Coming up tomorrow, NCAA wrestling tournament coming up this week as well. And Mark Ironside will be in studio to break it all down tomorrow. And we'll talk with Rob Gray, CycloneFanatic.com, about the Iowa State's victory in Kansas City at the Big 12 tournament. And looking forward to the NCAA tournament. Wednesday, Scott Unash will be back. And we'll talk with John Cranton, Jim Feist Sports in Las Vegas. Break down all the games. And we'll give you our picks as to who we think might make the Final Four, might win a national championship right now. Alex, are you a guy that fills out one or multiple brackets?
At the very most, I will fill out. I'll fill out two. I usually just fill out one. Sometimes I'll fill out two if I'm feeling adventurous. I just don't have time or patience or whatever kind of characteristic you have to fill out 15 or 20 brackets. I just don't have that.
I try to look today for the various combinations of outcomes in the NCAA tournament. I couldn't find it. I know it's astronomical, but I've always been a sheet of integrity kind of guy. I just didn't see much sense in filling out more than one, but then I got to think about it. I mean, if you want to win the lottery, you know, it just takes one, but you got a better chance, not a great chance, but a better chance at buying multiple tickets, right?
I guess so.
By the way, KGYM Bracket Challenge, you can only enter once. So give it your best shot there. But I don't think I've ever filled out more than one bracket. And I've only won an NCAA pool once when Louisville won it in the 1980s. So that tells you something right there. What was that, 87, something like that? Purvis Ellison was a center. Yeah, I rode them to a nice little payday. We going to have a little challenge in-house?
I don't know. And I think that's where I filled out two brackets last year. And I don't like doing that because then it gets confusing as to who you're trying to have, who you want to win. And I really don't even like filling out one because if I had it my way, every upset would happen. I just enjoy seeing upsets. So,
well, as bad as the APC got beat in the Carl and Ernie's pick six this year, boy, you would think they'd want a little rematch or something. But I'm not going to, you know, prod the cow too much, you know. But we'd be welcome to that.
It's fine with me.
Hey, thanks to Michael Oss for joining us, and I look forward to his story. By the way, he points out in GazetteOnline.com, I think the last 5 years, a number one seed in the NIT tournament has gone down. And a couple times it was by George Mason, so beware of that as you follow the Iowa Hawkeyes in the NIT. But thanks to Mike for joining us. Very much look forward to his piece on Zach Johnson, the 10th anniversary of his winning the Masters. 2007, a very chilly day that was, but a very memorable day it was for many of us here in Eastern Iowa and those folks at Elmcrest and all over Cedar Rapids. So thanks again for joining us. Well, Alex and I will be back tomorrow on the Gym Class.
Burger King presents.
Hi, this is Lori Grenier. You've seen me on Shark Tank. If you're like me, you probably rely on your phone to get things done. So I know you'll want to hear about Kabbage's mobile app. Kabbage has created a simple way for business owners to get funding from their phones. Download the mobile app, and you can complete the application in minutes and access